Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Ducks.
Mitchell goes in motion. They hand it off. Straight ahead for a touchdown.
Huskies.
C.J. Verdell wins the game for Oregon.
Isaac and Suit.
Honestly, I just think it makes you feel good as a fan.
I think it's fun.
Bud Light presents a Rivalry Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Suit.
Nothing easier to enjoy than that. Bud Light. Easy to drink, easy to enjoy. Enjoy responsibly. 21 plus.
Rivalry Week with Isaac and Suit on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Sweet redemption.
The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Hope you're having a nice little Tuesday. Sports Bros here. Rob, that's me. Big Sook's right over there.
Late start, but here.
Yep. We were on a little bit late today as a Ducks game against Texas A&M was a barn burner. About as good as the postgame show.
I don't know what you're talking about. That postgame show was riveting.
Fire.
I could not stop listening.
Do you ever use the fire emoji?
That would be like four fire emojis.
Yeah,
I did
right.
see someone was saying the other day that it's now, it's like over 80% of people believe that every text message has to include an emoji.
Really?
Yes.
That seems high.
The vast majority of people now,
has to?
When you send a message,
80%.
A emoji has
to
be included.
What do you mean has to?
Dang.
A message is not, it's not complete. It's rude to not send
out.
An emoji. Like, it's not enough to say, like, LOL, you need to put the laughing face emoji. Or, like, if you say I love you, there needs to be a heart emoji on that. The emoji is becoming it's becoming standard fare. If you don't have the emoji, you're viewed as it's a rude, incomplete text.
Well, count me as rude.
Well, it's because you're an old.
I'm in the 15%.
Yeah, you're an old man.
That's an absurd.
Get with the youngs. The youngs are emojiing out there.
It's an absurd claim. Although I will say that now that I think about it,
I use a lot of emojis.
My kids almost always have an emoji with their text.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go through and...
Yeah, it's becoming a thing.
Let me see here.
And I found myself, when I saw that, I did the... when I heard that, I didn't see it, I heard it. I was like, there's no way.
Yeah, meat doesn't do it.
And then when I started looking through, a lot of my texts have emojis attached to them.
But his girlfriend, or a fiance now, does.
She's an emoji.
Well, nah, not everything.
No?
Not everything. And look, I take my cues from the kids, because I'm hip. So... I don't think that's a thing.
It's
I think
a thing.
You're spreading fake news.
No. I got one from Masters Pete, and he's an old. Masters Pete, he's an emoji guy.
Yeah, he sent me Fire Altman again today.
Yeah, was there an emoji with it?
Yeah, the
yeah.
fire.
Yeah.
Yeah, he put the fire.
Yeah.
Although the one before that, claiming this is the biggest game in Dan Lanning's career, did not have an emoji.
So he's a little inconsistent.
Yeah. Well, he's 900 years old, so.
I'm just saying, if old man Masters Pete is out there sending emojis, get with the times,
but not
man.
Every man. I mean, come on. That's absurd. Absolutely absurd.
The emojis are coming.
I'm going to chalk that up as the dumbest thing I've heard all day. And there's still time, but.
Till you start looking at your messages now, you're going to notice, man, a lot of emojis out there.
This little guy here in Portland thinks that was stupid. Coming up here, well, we're going to get the college football playoff rankings, and yet we don't know when. Maybe there's about 3 minutes left in the college basketball game.
And it won't be a long one. Like, in between, when they do them in between the games like this, they cram them in like a 20-minute time, which is, by the way, all you need. We do not need an hour-long thing to...
But don't you have to have the committee chair interview?
No, we don't have to have the committee chair.
Why not?
Just shove it in there, and then we can all yell and scream about it tomorrow. How about that?
That could be a good drop. We also have a Power 5 head roll today. Mac Brown is dead.
Yeah.
Well, not. I shouldn't have said that because he's old, and now some people think he may actually be dead.
Rest in peace, Mac Brown. No, he's just not going to be the coach at North Carolina.
Right, so we'll get to that. Club 1080 tonight. Could you run a marathon drunk?
Could I run a marathon sober is really the question. Like, what do you?
Well, if you train, though, could you be drunk? Someone did.
I couldn't run one again, even if I did train. It's not happening. That may be the...
So that's a no?
That may be the least likely physical thing that I could accomplish.
Drunk marathon?
Marathon in general. Can I walk a marathon? I'll give you 26 miles.
Yeah, you can walk.
Yeah, I can walk.
I mean, some of it. I'd like you to try to jog some.
A couple of my friends participated in a boozy and bougie marathon in France that you ran across the countryside and you were given wine at all these estates along the way. People were dressed up. There was foie gras. I mean, it was like they completed 26 miles, but it took like all day.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
See, that seems real fun.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like now, that's a marathon I can get behind.
I love when the people do the beer mile and like the one guy's doing it while smoking and you know, like that I find anything you do athletically while smoking and drinking, that amps it up.
So the beer mile is you chug a beer and then you run a mile?
No, you chug a beer every lap.
Oh, every lap.
Yeah, every lap.
So and it's four beers and a mile.
And it's for time. And some of those dudes run really, really good times.
Why would you do that?
Why would you do anything? Why did Bajent, he did what, burpee miles? Wasn't that Tyson Bajent that did that?
Chicago backup quarterback. A whole mile's worth of burpees, right?
Yeah, he did a mile worth of burpee.
He did a mile, burpees for the whole mile?
Yes.
Why?
Oh, because he's a bro. It. I don't know.
God.
It's like something Will Ortner would do. I don't know, when you're a bro, you just do bro-y things.
Then I was too busy grinding my absolute face off.
So if you do the beer mile,
yeah,
you chug a beer, and then you run a lap.
Yes.
And then you chug a beer and you run a lap.
Yeah.
And then you chug a beer and you run a lap. And then you chug a beer and you run a lap.
Bingo.
And then you're done.
Do you want to guess the world record?
Beer mile?
I'll bet you it's
I'm sure it's like, it's sure. I bet it's 4-something.
It is 4-something.
Yeah. 4:30?
4:28?
Yeah.
Dude, who has that record?
Canadian Corey Bellamore.
Now, was he an actual, like, great runner?
He had to have been.
Well, no, but I'm saying, like, couldn't you just get an Olympic champion and be like, hey, dude, can't you suck it up and just drink four beers? I think four beers is not a big deal.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think he has to be a really skilled...
Women's record is 5:43.
...runner, right? Like, it's not just some drunk guy from Canada.
I don't know. Well, I'm sure he's a runner, but I don't know if he's... Does 4:28? I don't think
that's pretty...
Does that make you a world-class...
It probably makes you a collegiate athlete.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty... Legit. That's legit, man.
I'm looking up what a world-class mile time is. No. A world-class time is considered to be around 3:43.
Oh, wow.
So
he's just a punk.
Well, he's a good runner.
Loser.
But that's like saying a scratch golfer is a world-class golfer. No, he's not.
Yeah, that's true.
He's a very good golfer, but he's not world-class. That blows my mind, by the way, that that's considered a world-class time. 3:43 is what it takes to be a world-class. I don't know if I could run a lap in 3:43.
I could sprint and not get 3:43.
So as I mentioned, he's Canadian. He won a Canadian gold medal in the 4x800 relay. And one of the fastest Canadian runners at one point in time, 10 years ago.
Yeah, you knew he had to be. Oh, come on.
So how about this? Elite, not world class?
Yeah. I think that's fair.
Yeah, but that's correct.
Being the best in Canada, I don't know if that makes you elite.
But listen, if you run a four, well, it doesn't matter where he is. He can still run the 4 minute, four and a half minute.
One of the best in Canada.
Yeah, but if you run a 4:30 here, you're one of the best here. I mean, that's really good.
No, it's not. 3:43 is good.
That's intense. Like, I don't know.
Do you have to stop while drinking the beer or can you just like
NASCAR?
No, I think
you have to keep going.
You keep going and...
Oh, I thought that you had to...
I don't know if you...
I thought you couldn't start your next lap till you'd finished your first beer.
See, that kind of I don't a deal. Know.
You can't chug while you're running?
Because then people would just save it until they had to get rid of it. I think you have to finish one and then go, and then another and then go, I think.
Okay. It is time now for the Hot 5 at 5.
Been derailed.
Oh! Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue. Brought to you on The Fan by Victorico's Mexican Food. Discover Victorico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or get it delivered straight to your door at victorico's.com.
No, I'm not going to give you no cookie. Yeah, you do have to stop. And time does not stop.
Number five.
Stop, chug the beer.
Number five.
Keep going.
So that is an important element of the of the time. So that's even makes him even better runner.
That's more impressive.
He's probably a four-minute miler, right?
Yeah. Which is, that's elite.
I stand corrected.
Or, I mean, world class.
That's a world, that's close to world class. That's impressive. Like when Swag was going to squat 300 pounds.
Final 2 weeks of deliberation for the College Football Playoff Committee, although we do not have any rankings just yet, as we are waiting for this stupid game to finish between Memphis and Michigan State. Once that's over on ESPN, they will put out the new rankings. Of course, Oregon doesn't have to worry. They're sitting pretty at number one. Yeah. And they are in the Big Ten Championship game, even if they don't beat Washington.
I think the vast majority of teams, we already know who's in. There's a handful of spots that still have something to be figured out. And then, of course, seeding. But Oregon, Ohio State, the Texases of the world, Penn State, they're in.
Well, I think what will be interesting will be where they place some of those SEC teams that are crying.
Yeah, because if there is some kerfuffle over these this last week and then the conference title games, is there a shot that an Alabama or an Ole Miss or a South Carolina climbs back in? Or what they do with Clemson, is Clemson able to backdoor their way into this? So 1-8 isn't going to be real interesting, but like, you know, that 9-13, 14 range, that's where this gets a little squirrel.
Texas quarterback Quinn Ewers expected to start this weekend's game at Texas A&M. A spot in the SEC title game is on the line in that one. MRI revealed just a mild ankle sprain, and he did practice yesterday.
What's weird is I think a lot of Texas fans don't want him to play.
Yeah, well, they love Arch.
Yeah.
But Ewers has more experience. Meanwhile, Penn State suffered a pair of blows in Saturday's narrow win. Star offensive tackle Anthony Donko is done for the season with a knee injury. Also, defensive tackle Alonzo Ford is done with a leg injury. And Coach Prime at Colorado says Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter plan to play in the Buffs bowl game, no matter which one it is.
Yeah, and Deion Sanders is giving back his Thorpe Award that he won because Travis Hunter did not make the finalists for the Thorpe Award. And Deion Sanders is very, very angry. In a classy move, he's saying he no longer wants to be recognized as a Thorpe Award winner.
Okay.
he's a lot.
Three not-so-great injury updates for your... Not my, your Portland Trailblazers.
By the way, when they were playing a little better, didn't we all kind of feel like these things were going to start trickling in?
Well, yeah, you can't win that much.
No,
What's the matter with them?
When they split that one with Houston, we're like, all right, here come the injuries.
Donovan Klingon has a grade 2 MCL sprain. He will be reevaluated in 2 weeks. Matisse Thybulle sprained his ankle, ramping up his rehab. He's now out another 3 to 6 weeks. Also, Robert Williams is in league concussion protocol. The Blazers will play their next game in Indiana tomorrow. Jeremy Grant, doubtful with a knee sprain. DeAndre Ayton and Scoot Henderson among those questionable again.
I love that DeAndre Ayton has the most bruised finger of all time.
It's a deep contusion.
Deep contusion.
Deep.
In that finger.
Deep.
Running out of players.
Deep.
What's the spread in an Indiana game?
Hammer the Pacers. You have a lot of players.
One day after saying he'd be back, the school says he will not be back. 73-year-old Mack Brown is out at North Carolina. He is the winningest active coach in FBS. He went 44-32 in his second stint with the Heels, but just 1-4 in bowl games. He will coach this weekend against NC State, but they say they are not sure about the bowl game.
Yeah, I mean, if you're North Carolina, the Mack Brown thing wasn't working. I mean, it was kind of cute that you gave it a whirl. And he's a great spokesman for the program, but let's be honest, Mack Brown was taking that program nowhere. And they're kind of starting to get like lumped into me with like that Arizona State where we keep saying that they should be really good, and yet they never really are very good, even though they have good players. It's like,
yeah,
it's like the sleeping giant. Well,
not really.
Call me. Call me when they do something.
They're a basketball school.
It does feel that way, yes. Well, it doesn't feel that way. It is that way. But we keep hearing
not
that,
like Kansas.
That North Carolina is going to pop in football. And starting to think maybe not.
Come too far together. Stop now.
They got money, though.
Let's do it. They had a cooking with one guy. Was it Butch Davis was there?
Yeah,
wasn't
Butch
he
Davis
pretty good there?
Number one.
I mean, they've had moments. They've had flashes. But they've never put anything consistently together there.
Ducks basketball took on Texas A&M today in Vegas. A&M ranked in the top 25. And I tell you what, Ducks took care of biz. 80-70. They trailed most of the game.
They were down by double digits again. I feel like this is the Brush's MO. We just fall down by double digits and they got it.
They're starting slow. They only scored 29 in the first half, but they dropped 51 in the second. And they scored the last 11 points of the game to win. So they're now 6-0. Tomorrow they'll take on San Diego State. They're 3-1. They beat number 21 Creighton 71-53 today.
So the game plan there, fall down by 17 in the first half and then a rousing comeback.
Colorado now 5-1. They upset number 2 UConn 73-72.
Yeah, it's two in a row for the two-time defending champs.
We've got a top 10 matchup that's out there right now, and that is Alabama and Houston. Houston ranked number 6. They are leading 8-5. Kansas-Duke. Kansas is number 1, Duke number 11. That will get underway in about 45 minutes in Vegas. We also have number 4 against number 12 tonight in these preseason tournaments. Auburn is 4th, North Carolina is 12th, and they are in the Maui Invitational, and that one will tip late tonight. I think, 8? Perhaps.
Fun little night of college hoops.
8 o'clock our time.
If you're looking for something to watch.
Yeah, good little night.
Good little night.
Memphis, who upset UConn yesterday, they are wrapping up right now on ESPN, and they are leading Michigan State 69-63 with 35 seconds left. Once that game ends, they'll flip over to the college football playoff rankings.
The ranking show, and we'll bring that to you.
By the way,
when we hear
one beautiful nugget on the Kansas Duke game, Kansas ranked number 1. No number 1 team has ever been an underdog to a team outside the top 10 ever until tonight.
Well, Dukie's 11, so they're right on the doorstep, but they're getting 4.5. And I'll tell you what, you give me Kansas and 4.5, I'll gobble that up.
All right, the college basketball game has ended, and we're about to get the rankings. I'm always really interested. They've done 2 weeks of these now, officially?
No, they've done several weeks of this. It's been more than two. They've done, this is probably the fourth or fifth incarnation of this. They've done more than two.
I feel like it started at the beginning of the month, so maybe we're at the four now. This might be the fourth one. Fourth or fifth?
Googling currently, it's 100% more than two. Rob looks perplexed.
He's skeptical.
He is skeptical. It's like the elite beer mile. He's like, I don't know.
I don't know about that.
Skeptical.
Buck was right. This is the fourth. This is the fourth.
Okay.
So I always like to look at who's 8-9, because that could be who slides into Oregon's, who slides into play Oregon in the second round.
Yeah.
If
Oregon ends up the number
Oregon
one.
Oregon wins the Big Ten.
Yeah. If Oregon wins the Big Ten, they'll be the number one overall seed.
So for the longest time, it's been Tennessee and Notre Dame, maybe a little Indiana in there.
Yeah.
But there's been a lot of shuffling. So
yes, this will be this definitely will be a little funky because 7 teams in the top 20 went down. So
well, while we wait, Mack Brown fired at North Carolina. He is dead. Who is this Cignetti on the radar there?
He just signed a huge deal, and I don't know what the buyout situation is in Indiana, but they just gave him a bunch of money.
8 years, $64 million.
Do we know what the buyout is there?
I don't know the buyout.
So, it's a hunk of money. I mean, North Carolina, to me, we keep hearing that, like, if the ACC falls apart, that North Carolina is a more attractive option than Clemson, and that North Carolina is a crown jewel there, and obviously, you know, it's a basketball school, but it's never really won anything in football. So I don't know.
Why is it such a crown jewel?
I don't know. Maybe just because of where it's at academic standards? I don't know. Like, people just keep talking about it. Remember during that whole thing when Florida State was trying to get out of the ACC and people were like, dude, the teams that people want out of the ACC are North Carolina. Like, that's supposedly the one that the SEC and the Big Ten would both come clamoring for. And exactly know why that is, but from a football standpoint, they've never really, you know, Mac Brown in either run there, he never won the ACC, not once.
Not once.
No.
In either run in North Carolina?
No. Never won the ACC.
Wow.
Here's a fun, I was looking through Mac Brown, because I always view Mac Brown as a good, not great coach, but he won a national title, and so you give the guy his flowers. And he had a great run there at Texas. They had like a 5-6 year run there where they were a monster. And that Vince Young team, I mean, God, they beat arguably the greatest team of all time in USC. So he won the one national title in 2005, never won the ACC. Do you want to guess how many times he won the Big 12? I was kind of shocked by this.
How many years was he at Texas?
He was at Texas. Let me pull it up. He was there like 10 years.
I mean, since you're saying it that way, probably twice.
Twice. Both times that they went to the national title game. He was at Texas from 98 till 2013. So he was there a long time. Yeah, he only won it twice. And both times they played, obviously the national title one, they beat USC. And then the other one was when they lost Alabama. That was the Colt McCoy. Remember, he got the dead arm thing. But I mean,
so 15 years there.
Yeah. And he had a good run. I mean,
was he anywhere outside of North Carolina and Texas?
He was at Tulane and nothing. Oh. I mean, that was back in the 80s. And
you know, he is the active winningest coach in college football. Did you know that?
I can't say that I did.
Yeah.
I mean, those run at Texas. So at Carolina, this is he started off a little rough, but at Carolina, 9-3, 10-3, 8-4, 7-5, 10-2, 10-1. That got him the Texas job. 9-3, 9-5, 9-3, and then here comes the run. 11-2, 11-2, 10-3, 11-1, 13-0, 10-3, 10-3, 12-1, 13-1, and then it went downhill for 4 years, and they fired him.
Do you know who's on his heels, the active coach that's on his heels?
Well, Saban retired. What about? I'm trying to think. Ference, maybe?
There's
Dabo.
One guy, right? There's one guy that's won almost as many games as Mac Brown.
Okay.
Active. Because the top six are Paterno, Bowden, Pop Warner, Bear Bryant, Saban, and some guy named Amos Stagg. And then it's these two guys, Mac Brown and.
So there's got to be around who's been around a long time, because Dabo wouldn't have been around long enough.
He's been around a while, obviously.
Is Dabo?
No.
No, you're saying, yeah, he hasn't been around long enough. Who's in the, I'm trying to think, SEC, who's just an old bastard curmudgeon?
He is definitely a curmudgeon.
Again, Ference, but I don't think he's won enough.
Nope.
Go ahead and climb out of my ass for a while.
The great Brian Kelly.
Oh, really?
Yep. Can you believe that?
Brian Kelly?
Yeah, that surprised me too. He's won a lot of games, man.
Huh.
So he and Mac Brown are kind of...
I guess I don't think necessarily of him as that old, but it's a valid point. He is an old bastard curmudgeon.
So some names popped up for North Carolina. Cignetti, Dan Mullen.
Yeah.
Cliff Kingsbury.
See, and those all seem to make sense to me because they're all good names, but I just don't think that's an elite.
I don't think you're getting Cliff out of the NFL.
I wouldn't.
I think that guy's better suited to the NFL lifestyle than recruiting.
And I wouldn't think so. I know this is going to sound weird, but you know what that job kind of reminds me of? When Tony Bennett took over the Virginia job. You know, it's like that. Someone, you'll kind of be like, really, North Carolina? But you can win there. I mean, there's been some success, but they've never gotten someone over the hump. So if you're North Carolina, I never understood the Dan Mullen retread thing. Dan Mullen is not going to get you over the hump. Go hire the young guy. Like, that would be the job where I would try to go find a Dillingham, to try to find someone that could actually get me over the hump, as opposed to a guy that can go there. I'm sure Dan Mullen can go there and win 8 or 9 games, but that's all you've been for 30 years. Just aim higher.
Andy Kotelnicki is the offensive coordinator at Penn State. He was the guy at Kansas last year. His name has popped up. Bob Chesney, James Madison, and Barry Odom at UNLV as well.
Yeah. See,
I don't know. Is Will Stein experienced enough for a gig like that?
I don't know. I mean, I haven't heard Stein's name pop up, but Dillingham was a one and done, right? And then he was out of there. So, I mean, the Oregon offense has been rolling. I don't know why someone wouldn't take a look at Will Stein. And I don't know what, I mean, Dillingham certainly has the quality of that young, energetic guy, and he's got the tie to ASU. So maybe Dillingham doesn't get that job if he's not an ASU alum. But you know, look, if Oregon keeps doing this, someone's coming for Will Stein, 100%.
All right, well, I think we should put a pin in it and then stay on schedule. And then when we come back, we'll have all the rankings. But one early note, they haven't revealed them all yet.
I'll tell you what, 15, 14, 13, 12 is very interesting.
So 13, 14, 15, again, the top 12, you have to be in the top 12 to get in the tournament. They have put South Carolina, Ole Miss, and Alabama 15, 14, 13, sitting there waiting.
Someone screw it up.
And they all have three losses, by the way. Yeah. They're all waiting to jump in if somebody loses.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Just waiting to pounce.
So we'll get to the rankings coming up next. Here's Buck. All right, welcome back. Hi.
True story.
College football playoff rankings are out. Here's what they're telling you. If you're an Oregon fan, how do you feel about playing the winner? If you win the Big Ten and you're the number one seed, how do you feel about playing the winner of Tennessee, Georgia?
It's effing brutal, man.
Yeah, that's tough. Although, you know what? Tennessee doesn't scare me.
And then, by the way, you'd probably have to play Ohio State in the round after that.
Yep. That does.
That's right.
That would be your path to the championship. And then on the bottom half.
Probably Texas?
Yeah, Texas, Notre Dame, someone like that.
Maybe I'm telling you, the number five seed has the most appealing path to me.
So right now, here's what let me just lay out what they have, and then we can talk about it.
Yeah.
So, again, the rankings are different than the seedings in the bracket.
Yes.
Because of conference championships. Yeah. So, Arizona State, they've got as the 12 playing Ohio State. That means that they believe Arizona State is going to win the Big 12 and be the 12 seed. That is not a ringing endorsement for Big 12 football.
No, so Boise State, believe it or not, as the Mountain West Conference champ, still some work to be done there. They haven't won anything. But if they finish this thing off, that Boise State, according to this right now, Boise State would be the higher-ranked champion, and Boise would indeed get the bye and would await the winner of the Arizona State, Ohio State game.
We'll play Ohio State.
Yeah.
The 5-12.
Yeah.
And then you have Georgia, Tennessee, the 8-9. Tennessee being the 8, Georgia being the 9. Winner would play Oregon if Oregon wins the Big Ten. Mm-hmm. Now, if Oregon loses to Ohio State in the Big Ten title game, they're now probably the 5.
And can I tell
where Ohio State is? Yeah. So it would be Oregon playing Arizona State.
Then Boise.
And then Boise.
So look, you
sign me up.
You obviously want to win the Big Ten championship. And yes, some things can fluctuate there. It's not a guarantee that this would be the matchup. But if there is a consolation prize to losing to Ohio State, let's say you lose a heartbreaker.
It's getting the 5 seed.
There's no better path than playing Arizona State and then Boise State.
It's the best on your way. It's the best soft landing for you if you lose in the Big Ten championship.
Yeah, so as long as you take care of business against UW, I think the Big Ten title game, I think you're okay. I think regardless of what happens, I think you're sitting in a very advantageous
position. You win it, you're the one seed, you feel good, you've beaten Ohio State twice. You lose it, you fall into a better, you have to play an extra game.
Yeah, but that 5 spot is kind of the sweet spot.
You beat Ohio State, you don't have to play that weekend.
No.
And that is important.
Yes.
So then on the bottom half of the bracket, they've got Penn State playing Indiana with the winner meeting Miami.
How about SEC, suck it. The Big Ten has 3 of the top 4 teams in the country.
Well, and this also has 2 ACC teams in, including Notre Dame. That's not an ACC team, but they have Notre Dame and 2 ACC teams.
They're ACC light.
So Alabama, Ole Miss, and South Carolina are all out. But again, a lot can change over the last weekend. But SMU would play Notre Dame, and the winner would get Texas.
This is where,
so they've got SMU as an at-large.
Yeah, I find this very, very interesting, though, because as you mentioned, who's sitting there at 13, 14, 15?
All those SEC teams with 3 losses.
And Clemson is sitting there, too.
Well, they're 12th. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
So you got Clemson and then all those SEC teams.
But Clemson only has 2 losses.
Yes, Clemson has 2. So I just think it's very interesting. Like, if I'm SMU, I think this is going to be a fascinating test. So if SMU wins, Miami wins, and they both go to the ACC title game as 1-loss teams, does the committee have the balls to bump a 2-loss Miami or a 2-loss SMU, whoever loses that AC title game, out for a 2-loss Clemson who didn't play in the damn title game, or a 3-loss SEC team? If they do, they're absolute effing cowards.
Mm.
To me, if SMU and Miami win this week and they go to the ACC title game.
Who's SMU playing? Well, SMU's already in the
SMU
ACC.
SMU has Cal.
But I'm saying if they
play Cal.
But if they were to lose
against Cal, then they're
out. Yeah. I'm saying if Miami and SMU go to the ACC title game as a 1-loss team, each one of them, they both should be in that tournament. I cannot speak it enough. There should not be
punishment. They're not going to be.
For losing that game. Because think about that. Clemson is sitting there at 12. And if you bump Miami or SMU out for losing the ACC title game, what you're saying is that you are punishing a one-loss team for making it to their conference title game, and you're rewarding Clemson for sitting on their ass and not having to play an extra game, or you're rewarding a three-loss SEC team.
See, I don't think they would put Clemson in, them being from the ACC. I think they would. What they would do is they would cite the strength of the SEC and say three-loss Bama greater than two-loss SMU.
Well, I just...
And a lot of people would agree with that.
But I just don't see how. And I'm not going to lose it because they haven't done it yet. I just, if you have any sort of brains in that committee, that making it to the title game should only, you should only be allowed to go up. You should not be punished going out by playing an extra game. I will never understand the logic of not making it to your conference title game is beneficial to you. I just, I can't abide by it.
What if
the other one too, is this does kind of basically guarantee that as long as Indiana doesn't do something stupid, Indiana's in. Same thing as Penn State.
Yeah. What somebody brings up on the Vancouver Ford text line, what if the ACC loser gets bumped when their quarterback gets hurt in the ACC title game? Like Jordan Travis.
Gosh.
Oh, my God. 2 years in a row?
Miami loses.
Like Cam Ward gets hurt?
Cam Ward breaks his leg.
You couldn't put him in, right?
No, like, they're out.
They're out.
The
You're
same
out.
Thing.
Out.
Same thing.
It would be.
As Florida State last year.
Yeah. And Notre Dame, you think Notre Dame's sitting there at seven? Do you think there's any... sweating that if they were to lose to USC, I wonder if because they'd be two losses and the worst loss would be Northern Illinois, and now you're sitting there and debating two loss Notre Dame, two loss Clemson, and three loss all those SEC teams.
Yeah, they should win.
Yeah,
they need to win.
Yeah, I think Notre Dame's sweating bullets a little bit.
Okay, there's one other factor here where everyone's arguing. Well, not everyone, but there are two sides yelling at each other about something, and we'll get to that, and it pertains to the playoff. We'll get to that factor next. What else were you going to say?
I just think it's weird that Indiana is... It's so odd that
they played a weak schedule, got blown out by the one good team they played,
and they're safe,
but only lost one.
Yeah.
Looked good enough, running up some scores to be. Yeah, they're just kind of sitting pretty right
there.
They're
just safe.
If they win their first round game, they play like Miami or SMU. What is going on? Who is winning? What is occurring?
Who is winning is Indiana. Go Hoosiers. Just sitting there. We're doing great. Doing great over here. Google me, bitch.
Yeah. All right. We'll wrap up the college football playoff talk next on The Fan. All right. Well, the college football playoff rankings are coming into focus here because we're down to not too many games.
No. I mean, basically two left.
Well, yeah, but I mean, just the teams, it's narrowing because a lot of the teams that are in the picture have pretty easy games this week. Like Indiana plays Purdue. They're like a 30-point favorite.
Yeah.
So as long as they win, as long as SMU wins, like you said, they're already in the ACC title game, but they'll need to win to avoid having two losses going into that game.
Miami, I think, has Syracuse.
Yeah, Miami, that's a sneaky game. Yeah. They got to win.
Yeah, Syracuse isn't bad. Syracuse is 8-3.
Yeah, if Miami does not win at Syracuse, Clemson jumps in and plays SMU in the ACC title game. Tennessee's sitting, well, they have to beat Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
So that's not an easy game, rivalry game, but if they win that game and they're favored to do so by double digits,
then they're cake.
They're fine, and they don't even play in the SEC title game.
No,
Georgia is in the SEC title game against the winner of Texas and Texas A&M. Other than that, Ohio State has to just beat Michigan to get in the Big Ten title game. And the Big 12 is the mess. Okay, so this is the one thing I wanted to bring up that has already been hotly debated. And it is that Boise State right now, the committee is saying that Boise State will get the bye ahead of the Big 12 champion.
Yeah.
And you know that is making Brett Yormark so livid. Because what they're saying, the Big 12, and Brett Yormark's the head of the Big 12, what they're saying is, hey, you guys all say depth in the SEC and parity in the SEC, why don't you say that about the Big 12, where we have 8 or 9 teams that could still that are still available alive to play in the Big 12 title game?
Yeah,
and he cited another stat today that I was like, man, you can't really argue against that.
No,
and it's this: it's that the Group of Five this season collectively against the Power Five, there have been 95 matchups. Do you care to guess what the Group of Five's record is against the Power Five?
Guessing they've won maybe 10, 12 games.
8-87.
Yeah, that sounds about
right. And that includes Oregon State, Washington State, UMass, and UConn, who are technically independents.
Yeah.
So this was the big sticking point in the original college football playoff negotiations when they expanded. And this past spring, the head of the Mountain West said that Pac-5 leaders or Power 4 leaders threatened to remove access for the Group of Five team in the top four of the tournament.
Yeah.
But they didn't. Oh. So now Boise State is ranked ahead of all the Big 12 teams. So that means that if Boise State beats Oregon State and wins the Mountain West Championship, they'll likely play UNLV most likely, then they will be the four seed no matter who wins the Big 12. And the Big 12 is livid.
Well, I mean, but you can jump. So, you know, if Arizona State...
It's not looking likely.
What's Arizona State ranked?
Well, I don't even have... The top 15, they're not even in the top 15.
I think Arizona State is 16th.
Boise's 11th.
So, Arizona State would be the one, if you're the Big 12, that you're probably... I guess you would want to see. So, if Arizona State beats Arizona and then beats... I don't know. Iowa State. I'm trying to think of I'm looking at the rankings here. Where's the next big BYU's 19th? Would that be enough? Because Boise State wouldn't have a ranked win on their schedule.
Not if Boise State beats Oregon State and then wins the Mountain West. I don't think it's enough.
I don't know. It'd be interesting to see. If you looked at Arizona State or BYU or whoever ends up winning the Big 12, Iowa State, would a two-loss team there be enough to jump a one-loss Boise State team? And I really like Boise. Boise is a solid team. But you can say that the best thing that Boise has done is lose to Oregon.
Well, listen, the Boise State, one, they have a Heisman finalist. I think that's important.
Yeah.
Two, they win by double digits against pretty much everyone they play, not named Oregon. And they scared the number one team in the country, who has been really strong all year, at their place.
Yeah, but they are coming off their worst win. They eked by Wyoming by 4. They eked out a win over UNLV. I don't know. They 7-point game at Nevada. I'll be interested to see that. That will be if Arizona State wins and Boise State wins and finishes this things off. That will be one of the more interesting things. Does the committee again have the balls to say that a Mountain West team is better than the Big 12?
So the Group of Five this season collectively against the Power Four, 8-87.
Yeah.
The Big 12 has 42 wins over teams with winning records.
Yeah.
The Mountain West has 11.
Yeah.
And they have gone head-to-head, Big 12 versus Mountain West, 8 times this year. Mm. The Big 12 is 6-2 in those games with an average margin of victory of 21 points.
So
your mark has some numbers.
He's got some numbers. So whether it's BYU, whether it's Iowa State, whether it's Arizona State, again, I think you're the Big 12. You're hoping for Arizona State. That's your best representative. You would have a very, very, very strong case. In fact, I saw someone, and this is, you know, this is ludicrous, but someone floated the idea that if Arizona State loses to Arizona and they don't even make the Big 12 title game, let's say it's BYU and Iowa State. Tulane technically is ahead of them. Like Tulane
ahead of who?
Would be ahead of the Big 12 champion.
So Tulane would be the 4 seed?
Tulane would be the 5 seed. Like, there is a scenario. It's absolutely ridiculous. But remember, it's the 5 highest ranked conference champions.
Right.
And the way Tulane is sitting right now, the only Big 12 team that is ahead of Tulane is Arizona State. So if Tulane finishes their schedule off and wins the American Conference, and Arizona State were to somehow lose, and one of those other Big 12 teams were to win, there is a scenario where the Big 12 champion would not get to play in the college football playoff because they would not be one of the top 12 teams and they would not be one of the 5 highest ranked conference champions.
Oh, wow.
That's insane. And it's absolutely possible.
It's not possible.
I mean, you
just laid it out.
Yes.
I mean,
but
the path is there.
There's zero chance.
But that would happen though.
Yes.
So you could win the Big 12.
Yes.
not be ranked.
Unless the voters all realized what was going to happen and did a big shuffle.
Yeah,
they,
see, that's what I think they would do.
Yes. Someone, whoever won the Big 12, whether it was Kansas State or Colorado or BYU or whatever, they would then jump Tulane. But as it stands, if you were to say right now, the only Big 12 team that is ranked above Tulane is Arizona State. So if you removed Arizona State from the equation, it's important to remember. It is not the four power four champions and then the group of five. It is the five highest ranked conference champs. And that technically right now would be Tulane. And the Big 12 would be left out because they would not be a top 12 team and they would not be one of the
but
five
you
highest
said it,
conference
it's
champs.
Well, who's the fifth then?
That would be Tulane. Boise State. So you'd have
well, but you're including the Big 12.
No. So
because
follow this scenario. If you're saying layout, the Big 10 goes, the SEC goes,
correct.
The ACC goes, yeah. Boise State goes, Tulane would actually be the fifth highest ranked champion.
I forgot about the Mountain West. Okay.
So,
oh my God. So
basically, your Mountain West winner and Tulane being ranked higher than your Big 12 winner would leave them out completely.
Conference champ. That's fantastic, and I hope it happens.
If you wanted a real kind of FU to the whole thing, that would be the one.
There's the fly in the ointment.
There's no, again, zero chance.
What a mess.
They would leapfrog, but.
Sweet new system you have here, guys.
Yeah, they made it way better, but it's still like, who is even running this?
Again, because the biggest problem we have is just simply that there's no other sport where schedules are just so damn imbalanced. Because for everyone that yells at someone else and says, you didn't play anyone, you get everyone else pointing at them saying,
yeah,
you
but
didn't
we're
play
good.
Either.
Yeah, well, we're good though.
That's
no,
it.
But we're better. We're better.
But if we'll we played you, it. We'd be good.
Yeah, we'd kick your ass. We beat a team to beat you.
Don't worry about who I played. We'd beat you.
This is why, as crappy as some people think that the two big AFC, NFC type of super conferences, as crappy as that would be for a lot of the ancillary schools, it really would make the sport way better because we'd get rid of this argument where
but listen.
They would be forced to actually play a way more balanced schedule. But
there's going to be a lot of debate about who gets in the tournament, and that will last, you know, 3 days.
Yeah.
And after that, this tournament's going to be great.
Yes.
We're going to forget about who should be in there, and the teams that are in there are going to play it out, and it's way better.
Yeah, well, the scenarios, like, when you look at the potential games, it's just awesome. Like, when you
look... interesting matchups.
Yes, it's very, very interesting matchups when you sit down and you look at it, and you can start penciling in... you know, like where all this goes and you know, what happens in the opening round and, you know, here's your path to the championship.
Well, and the four schools that get to host a playoff game, that's going to be awesome on all those campuses.
Yeah, Boise wouldn't. Would
not in that scenario. They
not in that scenario. But
so the four would be Ohio.
But if Oregon loses the Big Ten championship game, they're hosting one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that 12 seed has to go play in Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
As it stands now,
yeah.
If Oregon beats Ohio State in the Big Ten title game,
be freaking this whole thing is just going to be bananas. We're going to get like five straight weeks of just unbelievable football matchups. And I think back to when we were growing up, where we didn't get any championship game, and then the crappy BCS, and then the four, and finally this. I mean, and one day we'll get to 16. It's going to be even better. But the 12, I'm not going to complain. Regardless of what happens, even if the SMU Miami situation plays out and I'm going to be pissed, I will still hold my tongue and be like, this is still great. It's great for the sport, and I'm fired up about this.
All right.
And how about the fact that in the first one of these, Oregon is the only team that has an opportunity to be undefeated. You know, they're the only team left standing at this point undefeated, and that's pretty stinking cool. You got a chance to finish that off.
All right, we'll get to the club. When we return, could you run a marathon drunk? Next on The Fan.